Good morning, Peninsula Hope Church family. We hope you guys are doing well. As you can see, there's a little bit of a different background for me this week. And some of you guys know that Emily and I recently traveled out to Colorado in preparation for the holidays. And really, we wanted to get ahead of the COVID rush with my asthma. It's something I was really worried about. And so we are out here now. We're actually going to be working out here for a couple of weeks before we take our holiday vacation time. And so you have a much more beautiful background at my parents' house. So I hope you guys enjoy it as we are getting into the Christmas spirit. Let me open us up in some prayer. Lord Jesus, we love you so much, Lord. And as we, Lord, continue navigating all the challenges in the world, Lord, I pray that you would help us to recall your birth, to remember you, Lord, and the names that you are called, Lord, and how incredible of a ruler, how incredible of a God, how incredible of a being, Lord Jesus, you are. We love you so much, and we pray this all in your name. Amen. So we are continuing our series called What Child Is This? And over the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about Isaiah's prophecy about Jesus. And this is found in Isaiah 9:6. And I want to read the NIV version to you. It says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." I want to give you some more background again. If you didn't join us for our first week, it's important to understand that when Isaiah 9 was written, there were many challenges that Israel was going through. Israel was divided into the northern and southern kingdoms, and they were being attacked by the Assyrians. So there's a lot of fear, a lot of doubt, all these different challenges that the people are facing. So Isaiah, he is trying through prophecy to convince his listeners that God can be trusted and that there is hope. And his prophecy in 9:6 is about a future ruler who we know is Jesus. At the time, they did not. That he has these names that he will be called, and they are the traits and qualifications that he possesses to be the ruler, to be King Jesus. And so far we have covered Wonderful Counselor, and I discuss how that means that Jesus is a wonder of a counselor. And this is really an advisor, someone that knows exactly what we need to do and when we need to do it. That's what the Wonderful Counselor does for us. And then last week we talked about how Jesus is Mighty God, or Mighty Warrior, and he fights for us, he provides for us, and he protects us. And this week we are continuing on, and we're talking about Jesus being called Eternal Father, or Everlasting Father. And so let's break that down. That first word, eternal, this means it's something that has a lasting future. It's something that is unending. It will go on forever. And this is part of this name, that Jesus, in this way, he will be unending, he will go on forever. And then Father, this is a little more complicated, a little more complex. When we think of Father, we think of our dads, or we think of Heavenly Father, and this is where we have to be really clear what we are talking about when we take a look at this name. Being called Eternal or Everlasting Father does not mean that Jesus is God the Father. And we talked about this a little bit on our Zoom session, understanding the Trinity, that we have three persons in one. That's our God. We have God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So when we take a look at this, it is not talking about Jesus being God the Father. What it's doing is it is describing Jesus's character and his qualifications to lead, that he leads like a father, or he has those traits of a father. So we have to make that very clear. It's what this is not saying. Now, what it is saying is three things. So when we talk about Jesus being the eternal or everlasting Father, we're looking at three things. One, there is a revelation. There's something that is revealed. Two, something is described. And three, there's an acknowledgement. So we're going to take a look at all three of those things. The first one is that Jesus, being the eternal Father, he reveals or makes God the Father known to humanity. John 14, verses 6 through 10 in the NASB, it says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you for so long a time, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? The one who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father, as he remains in me, does his work. So this verse shows us that Father God and Jesus Son, they're one. And Jesus actually tells about or reveals Father God. Hebrews 1 verses 1 through 2 in the NIV says this, In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through him also he made the universe. And his Son, we know that this is Jesus. So this is another area where Jesus reveals God the Father. And the third verse, John 17, verses 25 through 26 in the NIV, it says, Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. So Jesus has made God the Father known. So that is the very first thing that we understand from Jesus being the eternal or everlasting Father. The second really goes with what I talked about earlier, those traits that a father has. So this aspect, this reality from Jesus being the eternal Father, it describes Jesus's fatherly characteristics, which he gets from God, since he comes from God, since they are one, since Jesus is in the Father. And these are traits that we see in fathers, the fathers that we have. Hopefully, we've all experienced this, but great fathers, they have these traits. So Jesus, he loves his people. He sacrifices for his people, much like a wonderful dad would do for his children and for his wife. He teaches his people. He disciplines his people. It's not always fun, but there's so much learning, so many things that we learn from being disciplined. That's one of the ways our fathers teach us. And that's what Jesus does. He disciplines his people. Jesus, he provides for his people. He cares about his people. And the final one I have listed here is that he protects his people. And as you can see, many of these are similar to what the mighty warrior does. And ultimately, reality is because we are talking about the same individual, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's who he's talking about. That's why there is this repetition of some of these traits. I saw this quote recently by an ex-NBA basketball player. His name was Eaton Thomas. And I love what he said about fathers. He said, I would define a leader as a person who puts the welfare of the group above himself. It is the same with fathers. And there's this beautiful connection because we know that Jesus is our leader. He is King Jesus. He is going to be in charge of everything. He is in charge of the kingdom. He is the ultimate leader. And he is the everlasting Father, the eternal Father. I love that connection. And this is just an incredible reality for us that that is our leader, Lord Jesus Christ. And the final thing, this is that acknowledgement component, is that Jesus being the eternal Father, it acknowledges Jesus as the founder of our Christian faith. When you think of individuals who are the first, who are pioneers, who maybe They maybe birthed a movement, or maybe they invented something or came up with some scientific theory. They're often called a father. When I think of this, I think of America. And when you think father, what do you think about? Probably George Washington. We've always heard that George Washington was the father of our nation, our first president. And so that same concept applies to Jesus, the founder of our faith. That is why he is the father. He is the one that started it. Hebrews 12, verse 2 in the ESV says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So when we think about, when we look at Jesus, we can't literally look at him, but when we're thinking about him, when our focus is on him, he is the founder of our Christian faith. He is the founder of what we believe in, because he is the eternal Father. He is also the author of salvation. Hebrews 5:9, also in the ESV, it says, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. So Jesus is also the author of salvation. He wrote the book on salvation. Again, why we call him the eternal father. And the final one, Jesus, the eternal or everlasting father, he is the beginning of a new life for those who believe in him. 2 Corinthians 5:17 in the NASB says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if we believe in him, this person is a new creation. The old things pass away. Behold, new things have come. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but when we take that step, when we believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are a new creation, and that's because of Jesus. He made that possible. Again, another reason why he is the eternal Father. So again, those are the three things that we see when we think about Jesus being the eternal Father. It's the revelation of God the Father. It describes Jesus' relationship with us. It's that fatherly relationship he has with us. And then it acknowledges Jesus as the one who started everything. He is the founder. Now you may be asking yourself, what is Jesus being the everlasting Father? What is he being the eternal Father? What does it mean for us? We get what it means, but how does that apply to us? What does it have to do with us? Well, one, we have an everlasting, never-ending relationship with God. Think about how incredible that is. Sometimes you may have relationships with friends or others that they just come to an abrupt end. Maybe there is, you know, a situation that happens and there's some fighting or disagreements and that relationship ends. Or maybe you move somewhere and you lose touch with someone. That relationship ends. We don't have to worry about that with Jesus. He is always going to be there. We will always be in relationship with him as long as we believe in him. That is really important. Second, that fatherly care that we receive from Jesus, it won't go away. It's not dependent on how good we are or if we make a mistake. If we're repentant, Jesus will forgive us. God will forgive us. And so that fatherly care, that protection, that provision, it doesn't go away. Now I want to end with what I think is the most powerful blessing or the most powerful reality of Jesus being the everlasting Father and how that affects us or what it means to us. This is the most powerful thing, and I want to end on this. That we have someone who loves us unconditionally. Let me repeat that. You and I have someone that loves us unconditionally. It's not about who we are or our achievements, any of those things. He loves us no matter what. Romans 8, verses 38 through 39, the NIV, it says this, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the past, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Isn't that incredible that Jesus loves us so much that there is nothing, even Satan, he could try as much as he wants. He cannot separate Jesus' love for us. That's that love from God because they're connected. That is such an incredible truth about Jesus being the everlasting and eternal Father. And just like the nation of Israel and all the challenges they were facing, our nation, we're going through so many challenges. And so I hope you find encouragement in knowing that we have an eternal Father that loves us. And that's King Jesus. And that's what we're celebrating as we head into Christmas time. It's the wonderful Counselor, the mighty warrior, the mighty God. And then we're finding out now it's the eternal or everlasting Father. It's Jesus and his birth that we are anticipating and celebrating. Lord Jesus, thank you for you. Thank you for being our everything. And ultimately, Lord, thank you for loving us unconditionally. I pray that if there's anyone hearing this, Lord, that doesn't know you as our Lord and Savior, that through your Holy Spirit, Lord, that they would be burdened to come to you. I pray, Lord, that there would be people around them that would guide them to you, that would share about you. Lord, we pray for our country and our world. I pray that we can be focused on you and what you mean to all of us. Thank you, Jesus, for you. We pray this in your name. Amen. Hey, we love you guys, and we hope you're going to be able to join us on Zoom on Sunday. God bless.